I think one thing that really stuck out from that panel mm-hmm. that you said was the amount of access that you get from just being open and receptive. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is my man's literally broke it down by saying, we live in a world now where access is everything. I mean, to have the internet, to have books, I can get close
social
to
media.
I can get close to Diddy yeah. without knowing Diddy at yeah. all. What you dream, yeah. Sapphire Bombay, only what you think, yeah. Looks like we'll be tied up for some weeks, yeah. Lockdown, can't see nowhere. Top down, but we rolling, we all in. What you dream, yeah. Sapphire Bombay, only what you think, yeah. Looks like we'll be tied up for some weeks, yeah. Lockdown, can't see nowhere. Top down, but we pouring, we all in. I'm taking it slow. Ain't no time for no hola. I thrust in a slow, then the whoopee throw up. Bust a cloud like a bomb. Yeah, I'm a performer. Isolate me in the woods. You distance me like a runner. She think I don't know that she want me to pull up. Find a liking to my. Welcome back. It's part two. You know, season finale.
This is it.
Season finale. Thank you all for being with us. This entire season has been amazing, but it's part two, Lift As You Climb. We got two good brothers on the show with us today.
Two of the best brothers.
You know.
Premium guests.
Premium, high quality brothers over here, you know what I'm saying?
Oh man.
What Kevin Samuel say? He said, high value men.
High value men.
We got high value men in the room with us today.
That's what we want to keep around us.
Yes, you know, like Sister Bia say, it's a whole lot of money in this motherfucker, you know. So we're gonna discuss today. But before we get started though, brothers, you know, I'm a big fan of the drip. And both of y'all are looking mighty puddle-like over here, you know. Like, can we get some what's the inspiration? Oh, Derek, tell me, you know, a little bit, I wanna get a little bit background, you know, who you are, because we know you, you know.
Yeah.
We know you all. I'm pretty sure the city of Chicago know you all, but for our viewers, give them a little little content, who you are, where you from, tell us a little bit, and then we need to get into these fits.
Okay, well, Derek Christian, born and raised St. Louis, Missouri, live in Chicago, Illinois, of course, right now. L's in the sky. I mean, I feel what you were doing there. I appreciate
the on for the loop.
Yeah, yeah, it's kind of connected to the L's that automatically go up, but I was going to keep it a little bit more reserved, but since you went there, I appreciate it.
Keep
it
real, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Nelly was coming out real quick.
Hey, you don't want to see me mono in a suit. I still have space, but, you know, we're going to keep it calm. But, yeah, born and raised St. Louis, Missouri, live in Chicago, Illinois now, wear of many hats. I'm a poet. I'm founder of Mr. Suitable, Suitable You, Suitable Junior coming up. I am marketing over one of the top arenas in the nation for concerts and family shows in Chicago. So wear of many hats, but I feel like, you know, suitable for them all is what I like to feel within
suitable
myself.
Suitable for them all. Did you hear that?
That's the thing. Suitable is designed for a particular purpose or situation. So it's, you know, it doesn't mean you got to be perfect. It doesn't mean that you have to be, you know, too far left, too far right. But you're for it. So I feel like whatever we're called to do, we're suitable for it. So that is that goes in with a lot of it, and that kind of goes into the drip, you know, today, because I had to give him a little mint.
It's giving
fresh
mint chocolate.
But it's really centered around the tie. So the cool thing about Mr. Suitable, it's a men's accessories line of ties, tie bar, socks, and more. It's motivational. And so, ice caps right here, ice cap socks.
I got an ice cap on my heart.
Ice caps.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And it's built around the tie though. So this tie is the adventurer. So it's every tie has a motivational name. So this is for people who are suiting up to travel to new experiences and go to unmapped opportunities. So going into this podcast, I feel like this is the perfect kind of, you know, adventure that we're going into. So I felt like centered around this, give a little mint and, you know, just kind of, you know, keep it classic. So
I like that.
Just a little something. Just
with the double breasted.
That's my look. That's my look. I love it.
Two of them things.
Two breasts.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's a classic suit, and when you see it, you just respect it. And so I feel
it
makes a point when you enter the room. So I feel like it speaks for you without you even having to say something. So I love to wear these when I can.
Well, brother, I'm gonna give you a chef kiss. That was awesome.
I appreciate that, brother.
The man, look, the man of the hour. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So, big brother, sir. Tell us a little something.
So look, first, I got to say, like, just to be around you gentlemen today and get this energy of how, all the styles, the varied styles. Y'all fresh, man. You know?
I appreciate
so you, I'm the old head, so I had to, like, step out a little bit. But first, I'm Jeff Beckham. I serve as CEO of Chicago Scholars. It's a nonprofit that helps first generation and low income kids get to college, through college, and into career. Well, you know, I can go into detail of how that's done, but all in, we serve 5,000 kids. I have 40 people on my staff and an annual budget of a little over $5 million. So busy doing that. Secondary, I'm an artist. So we're actually sitting in the studio today, 3262 Media Studio.
Make sure y'all check it out.
This is some of my work on the wall behind you. I started painting a couple of years ago, and I've got about, you know, maybe at this point in the game, 200 original pieces and over 1,000 prints all over the globe, which has been very cool. Chicagoan, love the city, to and through, like, love Chicago. I'm all things Chicago. And then clothing, like, I think for, like, the interesting thing about style is all about, like, personality, right? Mm-hmm. So for me, I'm, like, subtle but bright, right? So, like, I'm quiet with my things, but when I show up, you know I'm there. And so, you know, the powder blue custom tailored suit supply jacket.
Yeah. I'm about to say, I knew it was expensive.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's, you know, the Charles Tyrant, you know, pink shirt with the pinstripe. Yeah, that's my thing, man. I'm like a classic guy. I love classic. Mm-hmm. And classic, that's why classic. I love
Suitable. Classic,
I love Mr. Suitable. I love the brand. Yes, I get to sit with my classic brothers.
Yes, right. Well, I mean, look, Khalil, you didn't even get into what you got on, brother.
Yeah, Khalil.
Because you know I put that. Yeah. I put that on today, you know.
Thanks.
I said, Derek and Jeff is going to come. They're going to try to make me look very regular. So I'm going to try to bring, you know, my little style to it, you know.
I got
the Devin Hester, you know, Hall of Fame, future Hall of Famer. You better be, you know. I got Supreme North Face collab. You know, I'm trying to get to it. As I get older, I was just talking to... talked to somebody earlier about this. As I get older, and I, you know, I work at Google now, right? Mm-hmm. I don't put on suits no more. And in college, you know, I was a Derek Christian Jr. You know, I had a suit on religiously. That was my thing. But I'm like, as I get older, I want to be comfortable.
Yeah.
But also swaggy. So, you know, I got my Supreme North Face, a little Rolex on my wrist. You know, iced up. You know. A little jewelry, subtle but shiny, you know, nothing major, you know, just subtle.
You look like a professional football player right now, bro. It's subtle about that.
I'm giving
drafts.
You know, draft day. I'm trying, bro. But listen, don't try to skip past you like we ain't know what my boy got on.
I know we talked about this in the part one, but I mean, I think we need to make it make sense for every episode, of course. So I wanted to fit in a little bit more with my brothers on this side of the table. Classic crimson for the occasion. We'll get into why we chose crimson. But of course, the ice cap socks. You know, something real classic. Mm-hmm. It feels like I might be your agent.
I'm giving return the football. He's giving make me money.
Can we be ownership? You know what I'm saying? Can we be can we own?
I like that. That's what we're going with today.
Yeah. We're keeping it real classic. And honestly, you know, y'all touched on a lot of different things that we're going to get into. But the first is like where this relationship starts, right? Yeah. I mean, because
you go back.
I mean, to round out the season with two people who we really have built over time. Mm-hmm. And when you talk about building, right, we're talking all about access. So we want to say thank you just to have this space, this beautiful space to see your art on the wall behind us. I mean, to pay homage to that, like a big part of this whole episode, Lift As You Climb, is access, right? We're talking about having access and really to do it where, you know, in our community, I feel like we're not sharing the resources enough. That's the whole point of this podcast. We're trying to share the resources. Yeah. And if we're selfish in that, how can you lift as you climb, right? We're all starting over. Mm-hmm. And so this relationship, let's get into like how we know each other, of course, but relationships in general, right? So we know you, of course, through Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated.
Greatest fraternity in all the land.
And y'all set us a set of precedent of achievement for us, right? And so when you hear access, you know, where does your mind go?
When I hear access, it's really just an example. I mean, you know, we're talking about lift as you climb. I think that goes into mentorship. I think that goes into an example. And for me, growing up, I didn't have that. Like, when I say that people in my life didn't necessarily set the example for me. It wasn't reachable in my circles. Mm-hmm. When I saw inspiration and motivation, I was looking on television. I was looking in movies. I was looking at theories, and I was reaching a theory of a person and not necessarily this is the person that I'm trying to be. And it wasn't until college, actually a member of the fraternity that I saw, that was the first person that I actually looked at in the eyes and said, I could want to be like this person. Mm-hmm. And so for that to happen when I was in college, that just made me realize that people need real examples. And if I can ever serve to be that real example that takes it from the films, from the songs, from all of that, and puts it in real life for someone, or even give them access to somebody, you know, maybe I'm not your, you know, cup of coffee. Maybe Jeff is, maybe Khalil is, maybe Yoshi is. But if we can put that and present that in front of people, they can at least see themselves and have that access to people to be able to feel more seen on their own. Like, that's the biggest thing for me.
Yeah. I mean, I echo a lot of those same sentiments. I think when I hear access, I think of the quote, they will be what they see, which is like the fundamental quote of the 100 Black Men. And it's all about visual representation, right? Mm-hmm. Mirrors. You see a lot in diversity, equity, and inclusion work now. People talk about mirrors and representation. And I think my goal was always to provide a mirror of an image of a Black man, a successful Black man, one that did the right things, one who stood up for the community and the family. And along with that, you know, when I was coming up, there were these images of Black success that I saw, but they were not very accessible. So when we talk about access, it's also the ability to have time and opportunity to communicate and build with these people. And I always told myself that, like, as I would grow into becoming successful and, you know, mapping that definition for myself, I wanted people to have access to me. So you all know, like, I speak to kids a lot. I give them my cell. I give them my email. I tell them connect to me. And I actually mean that, because I think it's necessary for young people to actually not only have a focal point, but then to be able to ask questions. Like, sometimes it's as simple as, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what I need to do next. Can you help me navigate it? And while I don't have all the answers, my network is big enough where I know someone like you gentlemen that do. I've connected young people to all of y'all at different points to say, I've got somebody that wants to be an attorney. I've got somebody that's trying to start a business. I've got somebody that wants to work at Google. Mm-hmm. And you guys do exactly what I would hope you would do. You always say, okay, how can I help? Right. And I think that that's just been like the mantra and how we've built and grown relationships over time. It's been, how can we help? How can we support each other and uplift each other?
Mm-hmm. I think it's funny that y'all say that, because, like, and I tell people this all the time, like in any conversation, I don't know where I would be if I didn't, you know, come through DQ when I did, because
you came a long way,
brother, like I'm a true Southside Chicago kid, like through and through. So I'm like, of course I always had my head on, you know, head on the right path. I was doing the right things growing up, but I didn't know where I wanted to go. Then I come through, I'm 18. I pledged when I was 18 years old. I joined the chapter as an 18-year-old, right? Yeah. And Derek was very intentional with building that relationship with me, because, like, he wanted to make sure the future of the chapter was taken care of. But it's like, he doesn't realize, or you might realize, that from my perspective, you literally kind of helped shape the man that I wanted to be. And then when I knew Jeff before Jeff knew, I knew Jeff early. I come back to do my internships over the summer. I'm hooping with him over the summer. I'm getting access to all these amazing men, a bunch of mentors I still talk to today. Then this is years ago. I'm 26 years old now. That's 8 years ago. And I'm like, y'all literally shaped the person that I am today.
That's dope.
And I don't think that the Khalil that I'm presenting in 2021 is at all the same person if I don't ever meet you all.
And I gotta say, man, I'm very proud of you guys. Not to even make it like, I don't want it to be distance there. What I'm saying is like proximity and just watching your growth and how you have grown on your own through your own work, bro. Mm-hmm. You have like become somebody that I admire.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate
that. I admire both of you guys. Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that.
Both of you guys. Crazy. You know, and that's... And that's just, again, I think a testament to the work that you guys have done on your own, the fundamental purpose of our fraternity, and the way our chapter's built. And I think just like continuing that legacy. And Derek, you know, I credit you, because oftentimes we joke about it, but like you men are like a through line and a lifeline from like the younger generation to my generation, even older than my generation of Kappa, which is, you know, it's a special thing. When we talk about like the bond of fraternity and what it's supposed to be,
it's supposed to be
actually seeing it represented like in real form. So
And I mean, and that's the thing, it's like I always heard about you and your LBs and what they did because they brought the chapter back. So like when coming into it was like these are the group of guys. So it's kind of like I even had like that mystic kind of, you know, this is what you're aiming for. Yeah. And so I wanted to keep that same energy, and like, I mean, that means a lot for, you know, for you to say that, Khalil, and just what you all have been able to grow and do. And I think that when we're talking about access earlier, I think access is also about like access to yourself. Because what you were talking about is like I always had a vision, but like I just needed like help to get there.
Who can point me in the right direction to say, okay, yeah, you can go this way, you can go that way, but if you want to be who I think you can be, you just need a little nudge. Who is that person in your life that can push you in the right direction, that's going to put you in those places you need to succeed?
Yeah, and access, like I said, access to the real you and what you're capable of. And the thing that I love about both of you all is that you have a vision for something. You're like, I want to do this. And all you really need is somebody to come through and be like, just do it. So even like with the podcast, when you called and were like, hey, I want to do the podcast, I was like, well, you know, here's somebody that's great to connect with. And you all took it and ran with it and did all that you're doing. So I feel like it's really about, I mean, I love that we're connected. It's definitely a blessing. God had a plan for it all. And like, you know, being through the Delta Omega chapter, I mean, that's just, you know.
Chef kiss.
It is. It really is.
And so, like, I mean, you mentioned a lot of great things. I mean, especially the whole point of this is to sort of put us on your shoulders. So for you to be proud of us, I mean, I think that means that's the whole point of mentorship, right? Mm-hmm. And to be able to see bigger and to do it quicker and to do it, you know, a lot easier, right? Because you guys had to forge a certain path. So it should be clear to us which path or what's available to us, at least, and if we want to travel down that path. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of the times, you know, for those that aren't in a fraternity, they find a hard time sort of connecting or finding those areas or ways to connect. Mm-hmm. Or there's fear in, I don't want to reach out to them because they intimidate me.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They're successful, I'm not. And that's imposter syndrome. There's a lot of, do I belong here? And so for everyone watching, right, like when you have that person you want to connect with, yet alone build something with, and you don't see that very clear theme of how I do that, it was clear for us, right? You almost had to take us in, or at least accept us, because we're in the same fraternity. But for those that come up off the street and you are that image of what they aspire to be, you know, what are you telling them, or how do you tell them to approach that sort of situation?
Well, I often tell folks that are like trying to grow, you can have control or you can have growth, but both can't coexist, right? And so you can try to control the process as much, or you can actually trust and take risks to grow. Leadership growth requires risk, and it's not always easy. And so that means that like you might have to actually walk up to somebody you don't know and ask the question of, hey, you got this job, this thing, how did you do this? The thing that's crazy is most people like to talk about themselves. But this apprehension around, like you mentioned, Yoshi, like whether it's the imposter syndrome of I'm not worthy, I'm not capable. I was sharing earlier how like when I got into the worlds that I was walking into some of the rooms very early on at y'all age, 28, 29, I was very nervous. And so what I would try to do is like overperform so that I prove my value and prove my worth. And I did that honestly from like 22 to 38. And at 38, I was like, wait, I've actually earned my place to be here. And beyond all of that, the skills and the things that I bring to the table anyway make me worthy and valuable to be here. Mm-hmm. So the idea of having to prove myself, no, now I'm here to bring value. And I think if you're a young person thinking like, man, I want to do this thing, understand the value proposition you present. And when you walk into the room, know that that's there. And those that are, whether they're senior or more successful or have whatever title, they'll see that. And it instantly will start to generate this relationship based on the value you bring. You know, I text it, I put it on Instagram all the time. I say, I'm working to become, not to acquire. I'm always trying to become the better version of whatever the thing is that I'm trying to do. So I read a lot. I study a lot. Before I meet people, I've met with some very famous, wealthy, out of this world folks. I go to LinkedIn, I look them up, I looked at what school they went to, I looked at who they're connected to, and I always bring it up. Like, oh, so you know such and such and such. You know, I went to Missouri with his son. Mm-hmm. You know, I actually know his son pretty well. Really? Well, his dad and I did this. Once you start to build that commonality, you can lower those barriers of the apprehension and the imposter syndrome you feel. Because you know your value. You know what you're going to bring to the relationship. And you're able to offer that to someone else. And folks, they soak that up, man. People soak that up. Mm-hmm. You know, if you network with the intention of doing something for someone else and not what they can do for you, you will always build a solid relationship and win.
Yeah, that's real. Yeah, agreed. I think you have to know your value. I think it's so powerful being young. So I think you can just do something right now. Just write down a list of reasons why you will never be great and then burn it. And then write down a list about what makes you powerful. Everyone is powerful. Like, young people sometimes feel like they don't have a resume, so they're not powerful.
That's
but
right.
If you think that you're young and not powerful, I work in marketing, right? So young people are telling us that we need to be on TikTok, that we need to be advertising on TikTok. That's power right there. Young people, with how they're moving throughout the culture, dictate what brands are doing, where you're supposed to be at. So if you think that you're young and creating content, you're not influential, not doing anything, you're literally telling people where to spend hundreds of millions of dollars. Yeah. That's power. Also, when you're young, someone where they are right now came from the same path that you're walking. So when you look in the face of somebody, they might see a young version of themselves. You don't know what they see. You may think like, I don't have the resume for all of this, but there was a young kid who maybe was lost along the way, and you approach a CEO or somebody that you admire and you think that you don't have it all together, and they're like, I was you at that point in time, and they want to help you. So I think that if you know what makes you powerful, know what makes you unique, and you have that, and realize that where you are and what you have is a power, and you approach the situation with that, then that makes it helpful. And also, I agree with what Jeff said. A lot of times that people will approach people trying to get something from them, but really understanding how you add value to that person, whether it's, you know, helping them save time. Again, you know, if you're good at creating content and you know that they have an amazing personal brand, but they haven't created content for that, offering your services there, getting access, it's a trade-off. Mm-hmm. And also being a part of groups, like you mentioned, we're connected through many different groups, but find what group you're connected with. Mm-hmm. And whether it's a fraternity, whether it's an organization, whether it's a social club, whether you're going to a certain location all the time, that's a network of people. Yeah. And networks, I love this quote somebody told me, they're like, being in certain organizations or being in certain networks will get you in the office of people that if you weren't connected to them like that, you wouldn't even get to their secretary.
Yeah. Right.
And that's true. It's like that gets you a relationship with people that are willing to do more with you. So find what network you're in. That doesn't have to be an organization. What space you frequent, champion that. Know what makes you powerful, and just when you walk up to someone, know how to add value to their situation as well to make sure that it's a trade-off, because a lot of people that are successful get things taken from them a lot, but if you know what you can give, then that automatically sets you apart, even if you don't have the resume that you think that you should have in the process.
So I actually want to touch on something both of you all said, where, because I kind of run into this issue myself sometimes, right? I walk into these rooms, I'm in tech. Mm-hmm. Everybody in Google is some of the smartest people in the world, very wealthy individuals, and the rooms that I play in, right, I lean very heavily on my personality. That's all I know. That's my superpower, right?
Yeah.
But Jeff, you said like having that confidence when you walk in a room to know that you belong. How do you establish that confidence, especially when you are in these rooms where imposter syndrome is very, very, very relevant, very evident?
What you dream, yeah. Sapphire Bombay, only what you think, yeah. Looks like we'll be tied up for some weeks.